The Cool Down is making climate topics actually interesting to learn about, and they give you easy tips on hacks to waste less and save money. They also have awesome product recommendations, and they show you the coolest tech that's going to make our lives way better in the future. Go to thecooldown.com to sign up for their newsletter. This is a topic that's going to dominate the next decade plus, and it's a good time to get smart on it.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam und die Black Friday Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal S. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I have a new Rewatchables going up on Monday night. It is one word movie month on the Rewatchables. And we're starting it off with a Sly Stallone movie on Monday night. You could probably guess what it is. Not too hard to go through his IMDb and figure it out. One word movie month starting Monday night with Sly Stallone. So there you go. This is the first podcast of 2023. We're going to be cranking out content all week on The Ringer. This is our time. It's movie Oscars time. It's football playoffs time. It's basketball starting to heat up, getting closer to the All-Star break time. NBA draft. You can listen to The Ringer's NBA draft show with KOC and Kyle Mann. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff. And unfortunately for me, and fortunately, the Patriots are somehow alive. And now I have to talk myself into the Patriots potentially going into round one and beating Buffalo. I'm going to do it. By Thursday, I'm going to talk myself into the season. We'll walk through it right now with our pal cousin Sal. It's all next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we're taping this. It is 8:35 Pacific time. Just watched the Steelers beat the Ravens on Sunday night, which added to all the playoff scenarios we have for Week 18. Sal, they did something really mean to us this year. They have not announced the schedule yet for Week 18.
And what the hell?
I don't fully understand it.
They gave us two games Saturday. We know Chiefs Raiders is Saturday, and the nightcap is that Tennessee Jags game, which I predicted would be Sunday night, but the league is so embarrassed by the prospect of Tennessee making the playoffs that they moved it to a different day, but still prime time-ish. But why don't they, what do they need to know? They know everything they need to know now. Nothing's really, I guess they want to wait to see if Buffalo has to play for the one.
Well, and then the Bengals, thing? That game might mean nothing, right? Because I guess their ideal scenario would be if Bengals-Ravens was for the 3 seed, and then they could put that on Sunday night next week, right?
Right.
But if the Bengals win tomorrow night, then
That's done.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what the
other
doing.
One that's
just
confusing is Packers Lions, which seems like, oh, just put that one on. It's basically a loser leaves town, but it's not because Detroit needs a win plus a Seattle loss. So if Seattle wins, then Detroit basically has nothing to play for because Seattle's making it or Green Bay's making it. So they, I don't know what they do with that one. They could put the Seattle and the Green Bay basically at the same time on Sunday in the afternoon, but I don't know how they figured this out. I feel like we're going to end up with that crappy Jags-Titans game.
Well, no, that's Saturday night now. That's
They definitely said that Saturday night?
Yeah, they gave us two. They gave us a little taste. Two games Saturday. One's Kansas City Raiders and one's Jaguars and Titans. And
that's, definite. So
that's definite Saturday night. You're right. So I don't know what they're going to do now. Now, I think the one thing about Green Bay-Detroit is, you know, Detroit will play their starters, right? You don't want to be in a situation where you're going to have one team just like slow it down and play their backup. So that won't be the case for that, even though it might not mean anything for Detroit. But it's kind of messy. They might have gone 2 or 3 weeks too long this year.
It does feel like the season's shifted and turned 20 times. Let's talk about that Ravens Steelers game quickly. I think you could make a case the Steelers are the fourth best team in the AFC.
Wow.
And they're 2-6, but they're 6-2 in their last eight. But even the 6-2, I felt like they could have snuck out at least one of those. Their defense is good. They know who they are. They can run the ball. Najee Harris was fantastic tonight.
Yeah.
And they look like they struck oil with Pickett. I would take Pickett right now.
He's solid. You know, I had a miserable time watching them last year with Big Ben. And if you look at it, they probably don't score that many more points. I knew the final score of this game would be 16-13, 16-14, or 17. That was somewhere in there.
What was it?
It was 16-13. It fell in the four scores that were absolutely in any possibility that it could fall in. But yeah, man, he's good. He throws hard. He rolls left and throws. He's got Pickens. Looks like a stud. And I don't know that they score a lot more than they did last year, but they're so much more enjoyable to watch them move the ball than Big Ben's terrible team. That said, so they'll be a 7 seed. Like, who are they going to go? They're going to go to the Chiefs and lose again. They're going to go to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, I guess, could be good. And go to Buffalo and get walloped. I don't know. I don't like that 7 seed for any of those teams. Your team, the Dolphins or the Steelers are the only possibilities, right?
Well, the Chiefs, I think there is a recipe to keeping a playoff game close against them, right? The Steelers are probably better equipped than the Patriots, but very similar blueprint. Good defense, run the ball, kill clock, keep Mahomes off the field. You know, right. I think Pittsburgh is just a better team than the Patriots right now. The Patriots, I don't know how we ended up here, Sal, where the Patriots are 8-8. They're somehow alive. My dad's getting excited. He's like, who knows? Play Buffalo, could end up playing them in consecutive weeks.
2 weeks in a row, yeah.
The defense is, since week three, is number one overall DVOA. Like, and they've been really good. They have 7 touchdowns. And over and over again, they've been able to not just keep the Pats in the games, but actually have been more of a scoring weapon from time to time. But somehow, I was prepared for this team to go 7-10. I was thinking about who would be like the 9th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. And now I have to talk myself into just them being in round one and just becoming a good fan and just not looking at the glass half empty stuff, like the worst offensive coordinator we've had since Dick Corey. None of that stuff. Just the positives. How good the defense has been. That we can run the ball. That Mac throws a nice deep ball. I just got to get my head wrapped around it. Yeah.
You got it. You're wrapped, man. You're already wrapped. I heard it. I heard the whole unwrapping right there. And your defense is good. They somehow score a lot. Don't they have like 9 touchdowns, your defense?
I think it was 7 plus a couple special team touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm just going to add. Oh, okay. So that's what it is. Yeah. Not non-scrimmage.
We have 7 touchdowns. Defensive touchdowns, though.
Yeah. Okay. And 2 run backs.
Well,
all
the
right.
one
yeah.
today was crazy because it felt like Miami had that game. It was 14-7. Pats can do jack shit. And all of a sudden, Bridgewater throws the pick 6 and gets hurt on the pick 6.
Right. That was
and
like
in
a pick
10 seconds,
12,
the game's completely basically. Different. Yeah. And then Skylar Thompson comes in. For a second, I was like, Skylar Thompson's not that bad, but that's a tough spot to throw him in home game. It felt like the home crowds mattered today. Didn't you feel that way? I thought it mattered in the Niners game. I thought it definitely mattered in the Packers game. It mattered in this game, the Pats Dolphins game. Even the Ravens game, the crowd was great. I think the Steelers are a better team, and the crowd kept the Ravens in it.
Well, I thought so too. But then when, like, the key is when you hear like Freiermuth catch a pass, and how many moots do you hear? And I don't know, it's kind of lively, I thought. But
that did seem like there were a couple of Steelers fans.
They do
when
travel.
When they do that
moot
thing, though, I never know what does that mean for how many people are actually at the game. Because that's like the loudest sound you can hear, right? The boo.
Yeah, I guess so. Well,
it could be like 100 people, and it sounds.
That's true. That's true.
It sounds.
And they could be booing. You never know what it is. You really don't.
Well, let me get your honest opinion on the Pats, because I can't look at it objectively anymore. I don't think the Pats are good, but I know their defense is good. But offensively, I just know when they get to the playoffs that I just know what's going to happen. It's going to be all the same shit I've been watching for 4 months. Am I too negative on this team?
You might be a little bit, but what do you mean good? Like, they're as good as any 7 seed should be, right? There's if you end up 9-8, that's probably about right. Before we did the season, right, we did our totals. By the way, you're killing it. I didn't want to give you any credit at all, but you are kind
of
killing it.
I think both of us did well. When we did that over-under before the year, I think both of us have a chance to get to over 20 wins. I have a chance
to
go like
12 and
22 and 10.
Yeah, and I'm like 11-7 or something. Something crazy. This guy, Chris Haynes, shout out to him. He keeps track of all this.
We're better than that.
God forbid Kyle keep track of something like this.
No, he would never do that. No, I thought I was like 18-6 and you were like 16-9.
Is that where you are?
With some stuff decided today. Yeah, no, we're doing really well.
Yeah, but anyway, so we had to decide between the Dolphins or Patriots. Didn't have to decide. They could have both gone over. Weren't they both 8.5?
I think we argued on the pod. It's like, all right, it's one or the other. You can't have both.
Yeah, I think
I went under on the Pats. I went over on the Dolphins and you did the opposite.
Right. Yeah, and we're right there. We're right there with each other. So,
That's the thing.
I think that's where you are. I think you're a 7 seed. You're a 9-8 team. You're a decent offense, not explosive at all. And as good a defense as most teams, except for like maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah, I guess the real question is, does the 7 seed even matter in the AFC? Right. You could argue maybe if Baltimore is the 6 seed, that might not matter as much either. It feels like like 4 teams plus Pittsburgh, I think, will at least be a bitch to play. But then you go in the NFC, and if Green Bay gets the 7 seed, that is just a different animal than Seattle. I've been poo-pooing and dismissing Green Bay for weeks. And they caught some stuff happening that Minnesota, they get that special teams play. It looks like it's going to be a touchdown. Guy gets tackled at the 1. Minnesota's the ball. First and goal from the 1. They run a terrible play. Then they run another terrible play, and their center gets hurt. And when their center gets hurt, it felt like the whole game changed. They end up getting a field goal instead of a touchdown. Kickoff return. All of a sudden, they're down 7-3. And you just knew right away. I was like, how do I live bet to get out of this? You couldn't even do it. But it does feel like the Packers, like they at least have a little swagger back now.
Yeah.
And defensively, Jaire Alexander was unbelievable today, but defensively they had a little bit of a pass rush. And now I don't know what
you said it right. Like, I'm proud of you. You said it right. You're one of the few people in sports
pass
media
rush
who could say, oh, that pass what a rush. Come on. Phil, how do you pronounce that? Well, you come over to my house and teach me how to say pass rush.
Well, and then the Giants as the 6 seed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not an easy team to play either. So I feel like all the 5, 6, 7 seeds in the NFC are dangerous. And then you get to the AFC.
We thought the Chargers were going to be, a couple weeks ago, we thought Chargers could sneak in as the 7. And if you're the Chiefs or the Bills, whoever's the 2, you don't want to play them. Now it's not as imperative to get obviously the 1's graded. You get a bye, but the 2 is going to go against New England, Miami, or Pittsburgh. Not as terrifying, I think, as the Chargers. But Packers have come on, and I don't know what it is with that Vikings team. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it. They're a 12-4 team with a -19 point differential.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. They're the embarrassment. Like, the Bears have 3 wins, but the Vikings, to me, are the embarrassment of that division. It's so weird.
But these seasons are so long now. Like, I made a list of who seems healthy or healthy-ish, a little depleted, or just plain unhealthy. And I had 5 teams in the unhealthy group: Philly, Minnesota, Miami, Baltimore, and Tennessee, where all 5 of those feel like they've had so many injuries that it's starting to actually crater their season. Philly's the surprising one, but Philly, it's just, they lost Josh Sweat today. I don't know when he comes back.
I had him too. I know where you're going with it. I mean, I had him on a bunch of money line parlays. I thought that was so
easy. I only
easy.
Did one tease, and I swore all week I wasn't going to do a tease with them, and I woke up this morning hungover. And I was like, I don't have enough action. I'll do a Falcons-Eagles tease. Let me get that. The Eagles won't lose. Minshew Mania. The Minshew Maniacs. I don't know. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow to decide if we're going to continue the Minshew Society.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
He was so bad today.
Yeah.
He was awful. Good. Just awful.
He was not good. I don't know why. Yeah. You don't expect that team to not score. And we'll go over, because now they have a game against the Giants and basically the Giants backup, right? I mean, it's going to be Ty Taylor in there, right? So we'll figure that line out. But and this is just a bummer that keeps it going. I know the Eagles are going to win next week. I know they're going to get the 1 seed, but boy, did they look bad today.
Well, it seems I asked our Philly special guys, Shield Kapati and Solak, like, what's going on? Like, it was pretty clear early in that game it was going in a bad direction. I was like, what's going on? Are they going to fucking blow this? Yeah. And they basically said when they don't have a pass rush, the whole team falls apart, which is you could feel in that game.
How did they say? Did they say it right? Or did they say it like...
They said pass rush, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they got it right. They nailed it. But yeah, it feels like we've had a couple teams peak a little too early. Mm-hmm. And they might be one of them. Now, if you're looking at the NFC, mean, anybody would say San Francisco seems like the safest bet. Meanwhile, they have a guy who had never started before 5 weeks ago. But San Francisco seems like the safest bet now.
To me, like, and I think you're right. I think we're both right. The season went a little too long. But it's also why now people are screaming, Philly fans especially, like, you see why Jalen Hurts is the MVP? And it's like, no, I think because the season is so long and because Mahomes is like making it look so easy and coasting through these games that he has no interest in covering, I kind of think Mahomes should get it. I think like in a 17-week league, you can't sit 2 and 3 games anymore. So that's why I would give it to Mahomes. But yeah.
Well, if Hurts wins again and he finishes 14-1 for the season, basically, and they lose the two that he didn't play, I feel like his case is better than it was a week ago. But I think you're right. I think Mahomes is going to win.
They don't have odds up yet.
No, they don't have the odds up.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl odds, at least on FanDuel, everything's cluttered now. We have Buffalo's basically 4-1. KC's plus 450. Philly's 550 now, so they dropped to third. Mm-hmm. San Francisco's 550, so same odds for both. Cincy 8-1. Your team's 10-1. And then it drops off a cliff to Tampa 22-1. By the way, anyone who wants to bet Tampa to win the Super Bowl, I'll book the action myself.
You'll take it?
Just bet it through me and Sal.
Tom doesn't have three. He doesn't have three wins in him?
No. Chargers 24-1, and then Vikings 27-1, and then the Packers all the way down there at 31-1.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
The best odds are the Chargers, because those odds haven't moved since last week, but I mean, you could argue they're going to be favored in round one, right? They'd have to win four games in a row, but 24-1 for the four games, I think the odds are better on the 24-1 than the 14 parlay of the Chargers winning four times, right?
Yes, I think so. A little
That's
better.
The only one where there's like a little bit of value left. And then Green Bay, if you want to get excited about that.
Yeah, Green Bay is the only one that's going to change after next week, right? It's either going to be off the board because they don't make the playoffs, or you're going to get substantially less than 31-1. So
that's
on
basically
that now,
a five-game parlay because you're betting them to win week 18 and then four games.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't, not ready to get that excited about the Packers, but they certainly, they do look a little friskier than they did. They looked like they were dead. What was that, 4 weeks ago? People were talking about whether Jordan Love was going to come in.
Oh, my Cowboys were killing them. That would have been it. That would have just been it. Did you end up hedging your Panthers bet? You put it out there.
No, I looked at halftime.
Oh, no.
Could have just hedged with Tampa. But you made the key point because we were debating it. It did, even if the Panthers won, it didn't necessarily mean that they're going to win the division because they still have to beat the Saints next week.
Right.
But let's talk about that stupid game. The fucking zombie Bucks, they're down 14-0. They're down 21-10 in the fourth quarter. Carolina scores. It's 21-10. Tampa just rips off the 3-play 75-yard drive. Mike Evans on your championship winning fantasy team, who's been dead for 3 months and just went nuts today. But Carolina had that game 90 different ways. I mean, they had a fumble where Darnold, that wasn't looking, and the snap hit him in the chest, where I swear that's like the seventh time that's happened to him. And they just basically, Tampa didn't screw up, and I am not any more sold on Tampa than I was a week ago. Are you?
Here's one thing that concerned me as a team fan.
As a doubt,
team,
as a team almost, might play them.
Almost definitely going to play them, yeah. The quarterback sneak for the score. The Evan stuff, sure, terrific. I mean, he should be scoring all year. But that quarterback sneak, and you think about it, it's really underrated. And I know it was all the Patriots offensive line, but Brady's quarterback sneak in New England was the greatest short yardage play in the history of football. Like not to get 3 yards, but to get close to 2 or 1.5. And now if that's back, at least if he has the confidence to run that that's just a little weird tweak of a thing that makes me think that offense could be back. I mean, they scored 30 and they really, like you said, they look dead to rights. But that stupid play got me nervous.
Well, counter. We knew the Panthers were going to be in trouble because they didn't have J.C. Horn. And the cornerback they did have, who was experienced, Henderson, just sucked today. And it just felt like it wasn't just that Brady played well. These guys were open all over the field. Like the Panthers couldn't. And for what did it take? Bowles and Leftwich, it took them almost 3 quarters to say, like, oh, we should just chuck it. What are we doing? Let's just throw it. They were trying to do that weird short yardage.
You know, like New Year's Lenny? New Year's Lenny wasn't doing it for you?
But the thing, thinking about the matchup against your team in the playoffs, I could totally see you guys going up like 14-3 or 21-6. And then it's like, oh, you got it. And then all of a sudden, here comes Tampa. He's done this now, what, 8 times this season where they've been down and they've kind of just come crawling back and he's made some throws. So it's weird. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl, but I also wouldn't want to see them for one playoff game just because we've watched them do this again and again and again.
Damn it. I know it. We're going to be like a touchdown favorite or 5 or 5.5 or something like that. And it's going to sting even worse than anything.
Well, I don't know. I mean, did you allow yourself to seriously think about you guys winning the NFC East?
So,
like, what if the Giants try in that game? Like, Dayball's a badass. What if he's like, fuck it, let's try to win the game?
I did have some Giant fan friends saying that, but, and we're not going to go over the line for another few minutes, but it does seem by the line that they're not going to try. They're not going to. And if the Eagles defense can't shut down that second string Giants offense, then they definitely don't deserve it. But yeah, they'll play at the same time. The Cowboys will play Washington, who's out of it. So that helps. But I don't know. I think you see a lot of backups by the second half of those games.
Yeah, I made my guess for that game, assuming the Giants wouldn't care. But I bet they do a rope-a-dope and try to pretend that they might care when they actually don't. Let's take a break, and then I want to go through some quick Week 17 stuff, and then we'll do guess the lines. Game of the day was Purdy versus Stidham, where just year after year, it seems like these two kids, they just seem to go head-to-head like this and go nuts. Yeah. So I wasn't totally surprised, but we had Stidham on the Patriots. I thought there was a 0% chance he'd ever have a good football game as a starter. He was awesome. Like, he was awesome. I thought he was fantastic.
And he was awesome if you weren't going against the best defense in football.
Right.
And he was, like, 365 yards. No one does that. 3 touchdowns.
Well, the thing with him, he actually stood in the pocket. He took hits. And I thought Carr was afraid to get hit. I think that was one of the many reasons why the Raiders were like, you know what, let's move on. I thought, I want to say he played scared, but he was playing like a finesse quarterback. Stidham was like, I'm going to take hits. I'm going to scramble. I'm going to try to do stuff. I'm going to play like my entire life depends on this game. And it worked. And they hung around. And I thought that was a really nice little test for San Francisco and for Purdy, right? I thought the Raiders are that great, but they're decent. And they kept hitting them back with haymakers, and the Niners had to kind of kept creating offense. And I thought that was a good win for them. The crowd was into it. And if you're the Raiders, you're totally vindicated by that weird Derek Carr decision.
I had the same stuff written down. The 49ers needed a game like this, just like the Cowboys, junk win against the Texans, but they went 98 yards, right, and won that game. And same kind of thing against the Eagles. Okay, it's Gardner Minshew, but they came back. Brock Purdy didn't have that. He didn't have a game. You know, we would have gone in there. Our analysis in the playoffs would have been like, have we seen Brock Purdy down 10? What does he do? Well, now we have, right? And this the offense, the way it's run, helps a lot, right? And the defense, too. They were back against the wall, too. They had a cruddy game and still came up with a good stop at the end to win. So
Bosa. I think, Bosa created the interception.
Just ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. He shoved him. Basically, what'd they call it? Shopping cart? I forgot what they call it when you shove the guy right into your roller skate him. But Purdy threw the interception, but 284 and won a game that he was down double digits. It's huge.
It's a good one.
Derek Carr, this is the worst day of his professional career, right? He wasn't even on the field and this was the worst.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty tough for his free agency, you know, and whatever team ends up signing him, and somebody will talk themselves into him. And I don't know, if I'm a fan, I'm like, well, wait, what happened in Vegas?
Yeah.
They sucked when he was the quarterback, and then somebody the Pats traded with a 7th round pick for a 6th round pick came
that
in
should
and
be
played
his
better
thing.
All year.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, guys. You want me? Who wants me now? Let's go.
I thought Vegas, I think there's like 5 teams that easily could have been like a 6 or a 7 seed if like 5 plays had gone differently this season, and Vegas is one of them. Atlanta's another one.
Yeah.
I think there's a world where Atlanta easily is like 9-8 right now, or 9-7 right now. Carolina was another one. Pittsburgh could have 2 more wins, you know. The Pats could have 3 more wins or losses either way, depending on how you look at it. But there's a bunch of teams in that middle that in New Orleans, New Orleans is another one, right? If they win that Tampa game, that stupid game that Dennis Allen blew, right, they're in the control of the division right now.
Yeah, all those teams you named like had 8 or 9 or 10 games that could have gone any either way. You couldn't look away, right? The Raiders had 14 of those. I think they only had one bad game against the Saints where they struggled to get like 3 first downs or they got shut out. But they really are like a combination of like, it's like a car crash where a gender reveal is happening at the same time. It's like, oh, that's nice, but should I look? I don't know if I should look. I definitely shouldn't bet on it because I'm going to be on the wrong side. 49ers -4 on a teaser. Thank you. But yeah, so it's very strange that some they never disappoint. It's such a big.
Oh, so you had the you had the Niners teased -4?
Of course, everything was looking too easy. Yeah.
So you thought that guy was running it in, and you're winning.
Well, I thought when we were up 7, the Raiders wouldn't score at the end either. I mean, I guess I was lucky to be back in it. They were down 10, but for God's sakes, I didn't think another... they played for McDaniels. That's the one thing we're not talking about. Like, they stepped up for McDaniels.
Yeah, I don't feel like that team's quit on him this year. I don't know where that narrative, they've blown some games, but I never felt like what's happening with Indianapolis right now, where they're quitting on their second coach.
Sure.
But right. I feel like they've hung around. I want to, another 4-team tease in real life where the key piece of it was Miami had to somehow, there was Miami +8.5, they're down 9. I needed Skyler to bring them down and either get a field goal or a touchdown. And he actually did it. He pulled it off. So, you know, those 4-team
I want to hear teasers the 4 teams.
Are like 3-1s.
I bet one quarterback will still be in the league in 3 years. Let me hear the 4. Who are they?
I had
Skyler Thompson. I mean, you had
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. All right, okay.
I had the Chargers, so I had Herbert.
Okay, all right, that's good.
And then I forget the 4th one, but they all hit.
It's respectable.
But then the Eagles somehow I smartly didn't put. What was the other one where it went backwards? The Panthers. That one covered. Yeah, I think that was the 4th one.
That did cover. Yeah. All right.
So Miami,
mm-hmm.
Tua gets 3 concussions in the same season. It doesn't seem like last week was their fault, but it does feel like the karma from the whole thing sunk their season. They're somehow not going to make the playoffs. It's kind of a stunning collapse. I was trying to think, like, imagine if the Cowboys, you know, lost, what have they lost? 5 in a row? 6 in a row? 5 in a row.
They've if
lost
they have?
5 in a row.
Oh.
And now they're not going to make the playoffs, probably. It would be like the biggest, like it would lead all the TV shows on Monday, right?
Oh, sure.
Like, oh my God, Cowboys. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? What's Jerry going to do? Because it's the Dolphins. People are like, yeah, whatever. But what a colossal fuck up by them.
We were talking about our over-unders, right? If you had over 8.5 and what'd you say? They were 8-3 and now they're 8-8. That's awful. Commanders is a bad one too. They had they were like 7-5 and needed, it was 7.5 or 8 or something like that. But yeah, the Dolphins, I don't want to make head injury jokes, but for God's sakes, I mean, could you be more unlikely? I think they brought the tent to Bridgewater. I'm not even making a joke here. Did you see it was like sitting down and they brought it over him?
Right.
Like,
they put it.
Oh, God. It's like, what is going on with this team? And why would Skylar Thompson want to step up in this role at this point?
So they beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Right after Thanksgiving. And in December, they lost to the 49ers, the Chargers, the Bills, and then that Packers game. And what's crazy is, look, I don't think the Packers are going to make the Super Bowl. But if they did, it's going to come down to that Tua getting concussed in that game was this fork in the road in both conferences. Because the Dolphins, I thought, were going to win that game. And if they win that game, they're in the playoffs. We're not even worried about who the 7th seed is in the AFC. It's already a wrap. And then on the other side, the Packers, they're out if they lose the Dolphins game. Now they're in, and it's just like 5 things have changed, and the Packers are a more dangerous 7 seed than anybody who would have made it, right? Washington, Seattle, Detroit, like they're better than all of those teams.
Yeah, that was a big big turnaround for sure. And the game before that was Buffalo, right? That was the Saturday game.
Yeah,
like they could have won that one. Yeah, that was that one they probably looked best out of any of the 4 that you mentioned the last month.
Couple more notes. I think Daboll has to be coach of the year, right? The only other contender would be Shanahan, who was 12-4 with 3 quarterbacks. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Right. Your guy McCarthy, we're not allowed to vote for him, right? It's 12-4.
No, but I'm looking at his resume. Like, he's way, when we talked about this last week, he's way far from being fired. He just has too many regular season wins in the last 2 years.
You would have to lose to Tampa like 40-10.
Okay.
And then he's getting fired.
He could do that.
Yeah. But Daboll, they're 9-6-1. I still can't name three receivers on the team, even though I watch football every week. Daboll saved Danny Dimes' career.
Yep.
And I got to say, like, I'll admit defeat on the Danny Dimes thing. My whole philosophy on QBs were like, you kind of should know after 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not there after 3 years, it's not happening. And I think that's 19 out of 20 times the case with quarterbacks. And he seems like he's the 20th, where not only do they have to resign him now, I actually think he'll be in demand. I think multiple teams would want to have him.
It's because of what you said, like this experiment, whatever, this union that wasn't supposed to work out in 12, 14 games with Dable and Daniel Jones, right? Yeah. And it certainly wasn't supposed to work out with Richie James and Darius Slayton. Isaiah Hodge. Who are the receivers?
Zombie Kenny Galladay. I don't even think he's on the team anymore.
Oh, no.
Well, remember
no,
the first few weeks we were joking that that they were trying to kill Danny Dimes because they kept rolling him out into like three guys. It's like, is Daboll just trying to kill him so he could play Tyrod Taylor? Nope.
And his numbers aren't even spectacular. Like, I think he was 19 for 24, 19 for 25 and less than 200 yards, but he extends drives, right? And I don't know. You don't want to use this Colts game as everything, but
he's scary. He's you bet against the Giants, you're scared of him on like third and five.
For sure.
Right? That's like the ultimate test. I'm like, oh shit, what's Dimes going to do?
But you give it to Daboll over Sirianni? I think he's the other one that's going to get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they had Sirianni kind of blew that one.
Mm.
Right? They're good, but their record's not really that much different than the other six teams. Like, they have like one, they played, I don't know. I think it's Daboll. I can't believe that team's 9-6-1. I mean, we were trying before the season, trying to make a case for the Giants, I remember. And I was just getting talked out of it by Giants fans in my life. No way. We don't have the talent. So it was no, they got the easiest schedule. It's a weird division. The Cowboys are going to be worse. Everyone's on the Eagles bandwagon. Like, I don't know, maybe there's a zag here with the Giants. And all the Giants fans were like, nope, there's no zag. It's not happening. They also nailed the draft pick.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not a good guy, right? Rubbing it in when a guy's basically crippled next to him. He's doing snow angels, but no.
Right.
He didn't even play a lot. And they didn't have the receivers play a lot. Like, I bet them over their win total. But if you would have told me the receivers are out, we're not going to see Thibodeau for a while and all this other stuff, I might have turned around on it. But they're damn good. They're going to be tough. I wouldn't want to play them.
More stuff from week 17. Tampa had a heroic moment with their punter that's going to probably get lost.
Yeah.
Where they're up, they're punting in midfield. There's like a minute left and it's a bad snap. And I don't know how Carolina doesn't come around the side and just tackle him. This guy wheels around the left like he's fucking Tyreek Hill, eludes two guys and punts with his wrong foot and punts it 35 yards. And it somehow goes to the 1 yard line. There's a flag on the play. Carolina has to take the penalty because so they have a better chance of field position. So it kills another 7 seconds. It was like one of the five greatest plays of the year.
And then the second punt was inside the 10. Now, I think he kicked with his right foot, his correct foot, but rolling left, kicking with your right foot is almost impossible. So, that was a bizarre play. He wins MVP, whatever his name is.
Another MVP for this week was Ron Rivera, who in his post-game press conference didn't seem like he knew that they would be eliminated if Green Bay won.
Is that fireable?
Afterwards,
is that a fireable offense?
Afterwards, he's like, no, that's not what I meant. It's like, no, you seem confused when you were told that you might be done in 3 hours.
I was shtick. I was doing, that's my joke. That's my whole thing.
Hilarious. Yeah,
that was bizarre. That was bizarre.
Poor Ron. Well, I mean, he seems so lively during the games.
We knew that was fixed, though, right? We called that last week. We're like, the league wants the Packers in and Washington out, and they don't want to have to worry about them week 18. And boy, the Browns and Deshaun Watson made that a game for as much as they could the other way by not scoring. But then eventually,
that game was brutal.
Well, they got Wentz'd. Those were miserable passes Wentz threw.
I mean, I guess they took the Heineke thing maybe as far as it could go.
Yeah.
But to put Wentz in December with his track record was seemed risky on paper. And then within a quarter, it seemed like the worst idea of all time. John Jastrzemski, he was saying this last week because he was on the pod. And he was calling it one of the games that had a suspicious line. He called it a rat line.
Uh-huh.
And I thought like that was good. I think that would be a good, I might add that to $1 million picks next year, the rat line of the week.
No, bro, just bet that's a rat line, bro. That's a rat line, bro. I'm staying away.
But the Browns, it's like, why are the Browns only 1 point underdogs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This makes no sense. They're eliminated from the playoffs. Washington has everything to play for. Why is this line -3? And the line actually moved toward Washington as the week went along. So that was a classic rat line. We'll have to see what the rat line is for this week.
There's plenty. It's about a dozen.
Watson had some of the worst plays I've ever seen in the first hour of that game, but then he kind of rallied and even got a weird LeBron James supportive tweet that then LeBron got crushed on Twitter for.
Yeah, good for LeBron. Yeah, but yeah, I just there's so much with it. But that on 4th and 1, they're like, are they going to do it? Yeah, they're bringing in Brissett. They're bringing in Brissett for the sneak. I'm like, what's this guy's worth? He's 17 for 26. He throws about 160 yards a game, Watson, and he can't even convert 4th and 1. It's like, yeah, Brissett does it. All right, he's out now, and let's see some more Deshaun Watson mediocrity.
Yeah, I want my $250 million quarterback to be able to be on 4th and 1, please. Yeah. I had 80 for Brady written down with WTF next to it. They started running ads for it today.
That's your project, isn't it? Yeah, isn't that your thing?
It is not.
Who's that for?
Yeah, honest question. 20-second debate.
Yeah.
Who is in the theater on Friday night for 80 for Brady? Because it's like, I don't know a single Pats fan is going.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not a date movie. Like you and Melissa, be like, what'd you and Melissa do last night? We went to 80 for Brady.
Yeah, right.
So is it my mom? Because our moms wouldn't go to that movie.
Ask her. Get her on. See if she would go.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the demo.
Yeah.
I don't think Kyle would go.
Kyle, would you go to 80 for Brady?
Kyle, would you go to 80 for Brady?
No.
No?
Definitely not.
Jim Gray. That's it. Jim Gray will go, and then that's it. Nobody else.
Jim Gray.
Mm-hmm. that's enough,
okay, there's
right?
one.
If he pays like $55,000 for it, it's almost worth it.
The Crafts.
Right.
There's a lot of people asking me if Brady's going to Vegas next year.
Yeah.
And I won't have inside information probably until after the season, but my gut would say no because his kids are on the East Coast. I think he's got to stay on the East Coast would be my guess. So I do think there's some smoke to the New Orleans stuff. With
New
him
Orleans?
And Sean Payton. Yeah, because they have the same agent. Him and Sean Payton. If Sean Payton went back there, I could see
maybe that
happens.
I mean, I wouldn't count anything out. I know this is a lame take, but I really, I don't know. You can't get in these guys' heads anymore, right? Like all the NBA players that want to move from week to week and the quarterbacks are just as bad. I mean, I was looking at it for next year. There's only like 7 or 8 teams you could definitely name that have their quarterback set for next year. The carousel is going to be moving fast, like in a few weeks.
Is it nuts to think the Jets are a possibility for him?
I've heard that too.
Because that team has a ton of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, Salah, I don't necessarily think he's on the cold seat. Mm-hmm. I haven't really been that impressed with him this season. And I wonder, could that be a Sean Payton-Brady combo destination? Jets have maybe a pick to trade to get Peyton, and maybe they lock that down. That would be a really good moment in the Jets-Pats rivalry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which is like a weird rivalry. It's like two sad sacks, but then we were good for 20 years, but now we're both kind of in the middle of the road again. But
see, then he has to stay around, right? Then Belichick can't leave. Then he's like, because then it looks like he's leaving because of that.
Well, if you're saying what is the best team for him to go to from the standpoint of the National Football League, it's the Jets. Because then you get the two Jets-Pats games a year, Brady versus Belichick. You get him in New York. I don't know. That would be
For the same reasoning, it should have maybe been the Dolphins last year, right? And I know they tried to get that together. But yeah, it would have been the same similar thing. It might have worked too.
Well, shit. I mean, not to sound too morbid, but the Dolphins might be a possibility too.
Yeah.
Like Tua had three concussions this year. How many fucking concussions can you have and still play? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if we'll see him again. Right. Like if that was your son, like Archie had three concussions in the span of 2 months, would you be like, cool, when can you get back out there? Like,
no, that's
fucking nuts.
It's gotta be close to it. I mean, I remember watching Aikman and we didn't even know that much about concussions back then. It's like, this guy is right. Just not right. You know, like stop the bleeding.
Right. Yeah. It's, I don't know what's going to happen with that team. All right. Then the last thing I had for you was best home teams. Can you name the two teams that are 8-1 at home this year?
Oh, interesting. Well, it's got to be NFC teams, right? Because NFC teams had 9 games. Eagles.
Nope, it was Dallas and Minnesota are both 8-1 at home this year. Yeah.
Wow.
KC was 7-1. Buffalo was 6-1. Cincy was 5-1 with 2 home games left, and Philly 6-2. Yeah, Philly lost at home to the one today, Washington, and then they lost that other game.
And Washington.
One.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm proud of my team. I don't care what anyone says. I picked them for 10 wins exactly. They won 12. They won a quarter of the season with a backup quarterback, potentially win 13. And then what'd you say? They're going to lose 40-10 in Tampa? That'll be a different story. But as of right now, I'm in good shape with them.
There's certainly no great team.
No.
It felt like Philly was edging toward it about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then who knew Lane Johnson was the most important player in the league? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I guess we found that out. But KC, week after week, is just rope-a-doping teams and just begging you not to bet them straight up ever. Buffalo, I think, has had a few injuries, and I'm still not sold on Allen being 100%. Not sold on them being able to run the ball up 10 in, you know, January when it gets cold, et cetera, et cetera. Even San Francisco, like, Brock Purdy is going to have to win 3 playoff games. Nobody knew who the fuck that guy was 6 weeks ago. I was reading his bio, remember? What was that, 4 podcasts ago? I was reading you. Like, we knew nothing about that dude. So,
well, now they're in the 2 seed, right? Now they leapfrog Minnesota. And so they're in the 2.
Which is death. That's death for Minnesota. To me, that no chance now for them.
Well, but if Green Bay is going to be the 7, that's not great either coming to San Francisco. I think San Francisco takes care of business for a little bit. I think they're gonna last.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's the Minnesota chance, is Green Bay upsets San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But Minnesota will not go into San Francisco and beat San Francisco. And we saw today them outdoors is a little sketchy too. They were talking on the broadcast about Jefferson on turf versus Jefferson on grass. And like, Jefferson was a non-factor that whole game. For fantasy, I'd imagine like your fantasy matchup and waiting for Jefferson to do something, which is a segue to our last thing. Your fucking team won our fantasy title.
My team. Well, not yet. I'm up 24 and I have, and maybe you should stop calling them my fucking team, because my fucking team could vote somebody out. And
I assume you're going to vote me out.
You're negative about it.
It's the funniest thing to vote me out next year. I'm already resigned. I'm not even.
I don't even want to talk about this, because I'm up 24 and he has Diggs and I have Mixon, and who knows what kind of game Diggs could have. But, and I also don't believe that you don't. I mean, the guy who kicked you out, you haven't spoken to him in like 3 years. So I got to now.
He's
I have
a bad
to
friend. He's this. Your team was 6-8. You were the 4th team in a 5-team division.
Somehow we
had some rule that after the top seed in each division, it was like everybody could make it. You sneak in, and then you have all these guys that have been on fire. George Kittle. George Kittle is now Travis Kelce 2.0. Mike
Kittle
Evans.
Kittle and Evans. Yep. Brady won me 2 playoff games, and then Goff put me in line to win this week. I'm not counting it as a win, because this is going to sound terrible if I blow it.
It's amazing.
It,
well, nobody enjoys the power of voting somebody out more than you. You created the rule.
Yeah.
You get to hang it over everybody's head for 9 months.
I will have more fun with it than most people if I get to do it. I just don't know why you should watch it. I know you love this league. Yeah, I know you'd be very hurt if you had to go.
Well, I'm going to take you and House out to dinner this week. I'm going to pay for it, and then you'll feel bad when it comes to vote out time.
Can I say this before we take the break? I was, as every year, my resolution was to lose some goddamn weight, because I'm coming in heavy. And then you're like, guess who's in town Wednesday and Thursday? I'm like, oh, Jesus. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to delay this. You know, the people who lose weight January 1st, they go on a diet. Those, they're losers. They really, and I don't mean weight losers. They're just losers in life. You don't do it like that. Those aren't people who should be taken seriously. You lose weight starting January 12th or 14th, I'll say.
14th sounds great.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm going to do. All right.
You take the first week of the new year to kind of regroup, and then you're planning to attack like January 10th.
Yes, couldn't agree I have to more. Regroup. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll do week 18 lines and all the scenarios. All right, Sal, if the playoffs started today, it would be Bills versus Pats, Cincy versus the Chargers, Jacksonville versus Baltimore, which is the shakiest pizza shakies game I think we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Especially if Lamar doesn't play. That's like the Shakey's Bowl. Then in the NFC would be San Francisco, Green Bay. I'm assuming Green Bay, even though Seattle's tentatively the seventh seed right now, if Green Bay wins, they're in. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Giants, which is one of those games where I'm just telling you now, I think like it'll be one of those games where you look at the stats of the different gambling apps and it's like 88% of the people have bet on the Giants.
Right.
It's just like, that's going to be a rat line, whatever it is. I'm already scared of it. Mm-hmm. And then your team going to Tampa. What's the Tampa Dallas playoff history? 1980? Didn't they beat you?
They won that 80, the John McKay team. Yeah, they beat us, right? Yeah, that's when we lost 3 years in a row like that. Yep. Yeah, they beat us. Hold on. Is there more?
I think that might be it.
I don't know. That might be it.
Maybe early 2000s?
Not a Brady team, yeah.
Was there like a Quincy Carter type of... What was the year of Quincy Carter? Who'd you lose?
He lost to Carolina. Yeah. He lost Carolina that year. Yeah, we lost Carolina a couple of times. Yeah, that game scares me. I was so excited for it. Now I'm scared.
Well, the most fun version...
And it'll be a night game. And they'll make that the Saturday night game, right?
Oh, that is unquestionably the Saturday night game. We are getting... The first game will be Jacksonville-Baltimore, if that's the game.
Right.
Some NFC game, and then your game. The most fun version of the matchups, I think Cincy-Baltimore is the 3-6, and Jacksonville-Chargers as the 4-5 would be more fun. If it was Herbert versus Lawrence as a playoff game, that's like...
Yeah, I agree.
They probably still stick that in Shakey's, but now it's like, at least there's some pepperoni on the pizza for Shakey's. We lost our Shakey's, by the way. We don't have a Shakey's anymore.
I know. Someone said there is another one across town, so we may have to go there. We may have to sample the Mojo potatoes, see if it's worthy. Mm. But
all right. The week 18 lines. So we have... What are the records?
Well, you're up 8-5-4. Does that make sense? Yeah. 8 wins, 5 losses, 4 ties. Week 18 now.
All right. So the two Saturday games, Chiefs at Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
KC gets the 1 seed if they win and Buffalo loses one of the next 2.
Right.
The Raiders get nothing. The Raiders at least have their pick, unlike about 5 of these teams. I continue to think the Raiders are pretty good. I had a lot of trouble with this line, and I ended up landing on Chiefs -6.5 in
Vegas.
All right,
I said 8.5. It's 9.5. So
that's
I get
too
that
high.
One.
That's no, that's stupid.
Well, the Raiders zigzag, right? Because they were good tonight doesn't mean today they're going to be bad next week, right? Isn't that how it goes?
I don't trust this Chiefs team against anybody as a high favorite anymore.
You're right.
Never cover.
They never do cover.
So the other Saturday game, Jags-Titans, it's in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's basically a loser leaves town for the 4 seed, except there's a scenario where the Jags can get the wild card. If New England loses, Miami loses, and Pittsburgh loses, the Jags could lose this game and somehow get the wild card.
Right.
Now, that seems like a lot, but then if you actually look at it, the Steelers would have to lose to the Browns. Wouldn't be inconceivable. The Pats would have to lose to Buffalo, conceivable.
Right.
And then Miami would have to lose to the Jets. We don't even know who Miami's QB is next week. So it's actually not crazy that we could have 2 AFC South teams in the playoffs, which would be fucking batshit crazy.
Oh my God, that would be crazy. That parlay that you mentioned, if those 3 things happen, is only like 5-1. It's not out of this right. world.
Wow. Well, and then, and then the other piece of that would be the Titans would have to beat the Jaguars, which is probably the most improbable part of all of that. They played Josh Dobbs on Thursday against your team. He actually looked pretty good. I watched a lot of that game.
So he's the guy. He was okay. That an audition or was that we want to save our Malik Willis, who we picked four rounds too early?
No, they can't play Willis in that. And
it's definitely Dobbs. All right.
You can't play Willis. He can't throw the ball. Unless Tannehill can miraculously come back with some Terrell Owens style out of nowhere.
Right. I don't know why. Jaguars are so much better, and not even because they thrashed the Texans today and that was never a game, but and have talk about a swagger, but I don't know why. I feel like Vrabel's not done here. I wonder could if this not, is close.
Could not agree more.
No.
I was thinking about teams that I wouldn't want to just completely discount. It's always Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Just no. Don't just assume with the Titans. They've done this over and over again. And then on the flip side, why do we trust the Jags? What's trustworthy about them? Well, they beat the Texans. They beat the Jets the last 2 weeks. They beat your team in OT.
Yep.
They beat the Titans 4 weeks ago. They got killed by the Lions. 40-14, and that was the one where people were like, "Oh, Jags, we fell for it again."
Right.
So I don't know what to think with them, but they at least have a chance to go 9-8.
You know what makes me think that Vrabel's not done? Did you see the last 2 minutes of the Cowboys game? He didn't stop the clock. He had three timeouts and didn't stop the clock, and they weren't down 40 points, right? Like he could have. There were a broken tackled score and an onside kick away from being in it. Didn't stop the clock. Makes you want to think that he's done with this team. But oh no, au contraire, he's not.
Well, they fired the GM.
Right.
They're on quarterback number three. Who knows? Henry, if it's a 3-hour game and you have Derrick Henry and you have a lead in the first quarter, you're nervous if you're the other team.
Yeah, he's still the best player on the field. Yeah.
So I have Jaguars -6.5 at home against the Titans.
Yeah, you got it exactly. Sure. Oh. I said seven. You sure you want to go 6.5? You got it.
I'm surprised.
If it goes to 7,
I thought
I
was
going to
be too low, but I just respect Vrabel. Okay. So I separated. We doing it a little differently this year this week for the week 18 lines. I separated in categories in order of importance. Mm-hmm. So this category is NFC playoff spot on the line. Packers, right. Lions, and Seahawks, Rams are the two games here.
Okay.
The Packers are home for Detroit. Packers win, they're in. Detroit needs a win, plus they need Seattle to lose. Seattle needs to win, they need Green Bay to lose.
Correct.
Little rock, paper, scissors action. I am going to say Green Bay is favored by 3.5 against Detroit.
Who gets this? I think we split it. I said 5.5, and it's 4.5. I went too high. I don't know why.
Red in the Vegas zone, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
I do think this game will come down to some sort of massive coaching mistake.
Hmm.
Like some terrible 4th-and-1 call or a special teams, something stupid. Don't you think?
Yeah, I could see between Campbell and Vrabel, I could see one of them being carried off in a positive way. Like, I can't believe they did the impossible. They beat the Packers or they beat the Jaguars. But yeah, something stupid will likely happen.
When was the last big Lions game?
Well, was it the Cowboys playoff game? Was there another one after that?
Yeah, well, and that we're going back like 5-6 years for that when Stafford made the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe more than that.
But this is like playing the Packers. They have a chance to not only make the playoffs, but send Aaron Rodgers home.
Yeah. He's never said he don't own them, right? That's just the Bears.
No. Now, they could win this game. I mean, the irony, the most Lions ending to this would be they beat the Packers, but Seattle wins. Mm-hmm. And then Seattle makes it. Detroit has the sports movie ending of beating Green Bay, but it means absolutely nothing.
Right.
It's like winning. It's like in wrestling when you win, you beat the champion,
match.
But the non-title match from the late 70s. Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that one. Seattle and the Rams. So I have Seattle -7 against the Rams.
Let me get this because I have to find it. The line is there no line here? No. It's 6.5, and I said, why am I so lost here? I said 6.5. There you go.
Wow, what just happened?
Sounds like I screwed up. You just
I'll show you the people thing. Say I cheated the Lions.
All right,
oh
it's
my
right
God.
There. It's there.
Jesus.
Six, I didn't
you've never
anything.
Read the Lion and then your pick after.
Because your beloved sports book doesn't have some of these numbers up. I gotta fish around. All right.
Seattle 6.5. Let me tell you this about this game.
Yeah.
I could totally see the Rams winning this game.
Really?
I could see McVay. This would like make the nice. They don't have their first round pick anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not even positive he cared about this week's game against the Chargers. It's all about like next week knocking Seattle out. Who knows? But I could see, I think there's a little rivalry there with Seattle and the Rams anyway. And I could see, I don't know, I could just see this one. Because the
so
Seahawks.
So one of these animated underdog road coaches, either Vrabel or Campbell or McVay, is going to pull off an upset or multiple of those. I agree.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
The Rams, like if they got the lead and they started running, like Cam Akers has been playing better, but they're running the ball. That was something the Jets couldn't do. We didn't even talk about that Jets-Seahawks game. White Lotus was, I think White Lotus has like 7 cracked ribs and they're just not telling us. He was a mess and he didn't want to get hit. And they didn't really have any other options, but he was awful. See, I don't even do that much in that game. I think they had 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
But their defense, which is not good, looked good today because Mike White was so bad.
Right.
But I could see the Rams hanging around in this one.
Yeah, I don't love Seattle. I know this was their first good game in a while today.
AFC playoff spot on the line. We have multiple, so I'll just go in order. We did Jaguars, Titans already. Bills, Patriots. Pats get the 7 seed with a win. Pats could also get the 7 seed if Pittsburgh loses to the Browns, Jacksonville beats Tennessee, and the Jets beat the Dolphins, which would just be the absolute worst way to get into the playoffs. We're 8-9. We needed 3 other things to happen.
Right.
Buffalo gets the 1 seed if they win these next 2 or if KC loses.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Buffalo, and I have the Bills by 8.
Yeah, you got this. I went low. I said 6.5. It's 8.5.
That's a tease.
You think so?
Because
as part of it, if they're going to play him 2 weeks in a row, or maybe you just beat him and then don't worry about playing him 2 weeks in a row, you don't want to show too much in this game, right?
They killed us the last time we played, which was, a month ago?
Yeah,
it wasn't
that was
close.
A night game.
It was an absolute debacle. And I just don't see, as good as the Pats defense has been, Allen just has the Pats number. It's
right.
The way Brady had Buffalo's number forever. It really does seem like Pittsburgh's going to make the playoffs.
How are they doing that? What's their scenario? What do they need? They need the Patriots to lose.
Yeah, let's do that now. They're home for the Browns. They need to win. Pats need to lose.
Yeah.
And they need Miami to lose to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't that happen?
Yeah, that's only like 4-1, 4-1, or maybe less. Although
like Tua's not playing
too.
Next week. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know what happened to his hand. He wasn't even good before he got hurt.
Right.
And then and Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. Skylar Thompson and Mac Jones have to lose.
And Salah, and they let's be honest, win. Salah might be coaching for his job a little bit. Like if they end the season shitty, I could see them moving on from him.
I don't know about these ribs though. That's the whole thing.
Mike White?
Who they put in there. Yeah.
You know, what they should have done today is they should have had who's that backup who can't throw but he's a good runner?
For who? The Jets?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The guy who came in on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, who the fuck is this
sad?
Guy?
Isn't that sad? We forget his name already.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
No,
Streveler, right?
Streveler.
Yeah,
I would have had a series for him where they just kind of ran the ball and did Taysom Hill stuff because White, you could tell pretty quickly, didn't have it.
Yeah, they had some short yardage stuff that they could have converted and they didn't. And that was the game.
Well, let's do that one. Dolphins-Jets. I have Dolphins minus 2.5.
Well, we didn't do Steelers. Did you want to do Steelers or you did?
Well, we're going to do both of them.
Okay, good. Dolphins-Jets.
I have Dolphins minus 2.5.
So I got to find it on here. I promise I'm not doing.
Probably no line, right? Because we don't know.
I
the
had
quarterback
2.5
is.
Also. It's 3.
Okay. And then Steelers-Browns
mm-hmm.
in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I have Steelers minus 4.
Yeah, I said 2, and it's 2.5.
Ooh. Why are the Browns getting all this respect from
I don't know. I don't get it.
The Lions.
They expect an explosion out of Deshaun Watson. Is he going to have a 4-touchdown, 350-yard game?
I don't think this year. I bet that one tonight.
Yeah.
I really respect the Steelers. We make fun of coaches all the time. Tomlin's fucking awesome. I love that guy.
He really is.
He's really something. Yeah, I mean, really,
you're betting on the 9-8, right? If you're betting on them to win, even if they don't make the playoffs, that's got to mean a lot to him, right?
I went over with them when we did the over-under. I met, what was it, like 7.5?
Mm-hmm.
And I went over just because of Tomlin. It was really no real... They had a couple good players on both sides of the ball, but ultimately, there was no reason to think that team would be 500, but the coaching infrastructure is so good.
Well, also, I took them... Watt was coming back, and their adjusted over-under was 5.5. And I was like, oh, they should get to 7 wins. And
they could have more than that. All right, this next category is AFC seeding on the line. Mm-hmm. So we have Bengals Ravens. This is a little hard because they probably shouldn't have a line for this because so much of it depends on what happens tomorrow night.
Yeah, they do. They do have one.
If Cincy beats Buffalo tomorrow, they're the 3 seed. If they lose, this becomes a winner gets the 3 seed game. So I have Bengals minus 4.5.
That was too low. I said 5.5. It's 6. What did Baltimore beat them the first time, right? That's why this means something potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ravens just that team. I think they're my least favorite team. Like just irrational just as a Pats fan. They just bother me. Like today the Hayward gets that penalty because he gets basically shoved back into the pile.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the play's done. They're about to kick a field goal and the ref's just like, "Oh, 15-yard penalty on Cameron Hayward."
Yeah.
And they get the extra 4 points. It just seems like that kind of shit happens with the Ravens all the time.
Yeah, they need the extra 4.
Or like the
4.
Field goal hits the upright, always against them.
Right, right, right. Yeah, is Tucker hot today or is he not? Is he going to get a kick blocked? Like, I think in the last 6 games, they've scored 20 points once. Now, I know it's because Lamar's out, but how great is he going to be coming back for this first week? I think that line's
that great.
About right.
They don't have good receivers.
That might be a teaser.
Either.
That might be a teaser game.
You know, there was a penalty today that made me think of the rule I always wanted them to have. Did you see Fred Warner's face mask on Hunter Renfrow?
No, I missed that
one. In the Niners Raiders game? It was one of those where he grabbed the thing and Renfrow's had like the exorcist head. It did like the 180. And he not only stopped his progress, but he got flung backwards the other way. It was like the worst face mask of the year.
Right.
And it was 15 yards. It was the same penalty as the Cam Hayward play. And it made me think, I say this every year, I think the unnecessary roughness, they should be able to go more than 15 yards.
Oh,
this
really?
This was like a 40-yard face mask.
Yeah.
This should have been like, we're waving the 15. It's going to be first down Raiders at the 10. That's the worst thing we've seen all year.
well, in college, they review it all now. They look for targeting and helmet. We're going to throw you out of the next game. We're going to notify your parents. There's a whole litany of things.
What happened in the semifinal on that targeting call when they reviewed it and they decided it wasn't targeting?
They said no. The one that ended the game?
Yeah. What was that? If that's not targeting, what's targeting?
It's absolutely the rule. They were just like the refs went rogue.
Just wanted to go home.
They're like, well, like we're not ending this game like this. We're too precious.
That was stupid. All right, Bengals minus 6 over the Ravens. Next one is Chiefs at the Raiders, which we did. And then the last one for AFC seeding on the line is Chargers at Denver.
Yeah.
Chargers get a 5 seed if they win. I have the Chargers favored in Denver by 8.
Oh, wow. I thought I was off. I went plus 1.5. It's plus 3.5.
What do you mean?
Chargers by 3.5. Home team's getting points.
It's only 3.5?
It's in Denver, you know, right?
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Have you seen Denver?
The teams care at 5-6 seed. Do they? We're going to see Chase Daniel in this game, right? So they can rest everybody?
Why wouldn't you want the 5 seed? You get to go to Jacksonville. I would really want the 5 seed. What do I want
can
the 6
lose
seed
and
for?
Get
then
the
I have
5
to play
seed?
Since now.
Wait, Baltimore could get the 6 if they lose to Cincinnati, which they're supposed to, right? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so you're saying if the Baltimore loses to Cincy, the Chargers get the 5 seed anyway?
Yeah, Baltimore's 10-7, and the Chargers are 10-7. The Chargers are above them now. The Chargers are the 5 now, right?
Yeah, but so, if they have the game at the same time, they're not going to be able to.
Yeah,
and I'm not messing around. I want the 5 seed. I want to go to the. Right. I want to go to Jacksonville or Tennessee.
Well, that's
plus,
a low
like, what
line.
Happens if Tennessee wins that Saturday game? Oh, I was
well, then
way
you'll
off.
Know. Yeah, then you'll know. Yeah. No, well, that's an easy bet for you then. Take Chargers first half at least.
At Denver's. I mean, how many times have people bet on a Broncos game and hated themselves for one reason or the other? Like today, yeah. Right?
They were pissing
or last
me off
week.
Today.
I had them against the Rams. Mm-hmm. Just because it was Christmas and I was bored and the game was over in 2 minutes.
Right.
Eagles, Giants. I had no idea what to do with this. I just guessed if Philly wins, they're the 1 seed. We have no idea what the Giants have to play for. Eagles by 10.5. I have no idea.
Oh, you jerk. That's exactly what I had. But the way you were talking, I thought you were going to go way lower. It's 14.
Oh, my God.
14.
What the hell? So they just think the Giants are going to completely roll over.
Yeah. Yeah, they must have. That's what I mean. Like, it'd be a huge surprise if Daniel Jones or any
14.
Of these injured guys played. Yeah. It's a monster number. This is why, like, I think, like, Cooper Rush starts for Dallas.
Let's do that one. Cowboys at Washington. Dallas can win the NFC East if they win, plus Philly loses.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not that likely. I put this in the Vegas zone. I have Cowboys by 5.5.
All right. You're just off. I got 6. I hit it exactly. Plus 6. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I imagine they're going to run these all at the same time, right? So it would have to be Dallas, Philly, San Francisco. So these have to be late afternoon games. If San Francisco
all
is
these
play
are late.
At home.
Yeah.
If they're home, right? Yeah.
That's the next one. Niners are home for the Cardinals. Niners clinched the 2 seed with a win.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Niners favored by 13.5 points.
All right. So, I mean, who's cheating now? That's exactly what it is, 13.5. I said 11.5. You got it.
You know why I guess that? Because I knew they would have to put it high enough. I don't cheat on guess the lines. I knew they would put it high enough that we couldn't put them in a 3-team tease and feel good about it.
Oh, we're going to do it anyway. We're doing San Francisco. We're doing Philadelphia. And we're doing the Georgia Bulldogs. And we're going to cash that.
In the old days, this line would have been like 11.5, but they just bump it because of people like us. They don't want us to tease the games.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? 13.5. Fuck you. That's their attitude.
Right. Oh, yeah. You guys worry about the McSorley or the McCoy or whatever comes down Friday. Whatever disaster.
The guy, the Cardinals guy, who I was watching some of that game because I had the Falcons in a tease. Blow?
Yeah.
Blow?
Blau, yeah, that's our Thanksgiving guy. He always.
I never heard 1 minute of the announcers because I had him on one of the small TVs.
Right.
But he made some plays. Like they hung around that whole game, and then Atlanta had to kick a field goal to win it.
Yeah, cool. Yep.
So probably irrelevant. Only one in this one. It's Vikings Bears. The Vikings can get the 2 seed in Chicago if they win and the Niners lose. But as we just covered, the Niners are playing the Cardinals at home.
Right.
Probably not going to lose. So I'm sure they'll put this Vikings game at the same time as the Niners game. But this has all the makings of let's start taking guys out in the second quarter once the Niners go up. So maybe bet Vikings first half. I have Vikings favored by 6 in Chicago.
Oof. Way high. You know they hate the Vikings. I said 3. It's 2.5. You know Vegas hates them.
Yeah, but have you seen the Bears?
I know. And
the Bears now they can get the second pick. Like, why
did
would
you
they
bet
try
that with
this?
Me? They could get the first, right? I mean, they have 3 wins. Texans have 2. They could still have the worst record, couldn't
Which
they?
Which one beat the other one, Texans, Bears? They played.
Oh,
that was like week 2, and we were joking that.
But it doesn't matter because they have a tie, the Texans. So that won't be they won't come down to
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They're 2-13-1, and the Bears are, 3-13?
You know what that was? The Bears beat them in week 3 23-20. Mm-hmm. It was that game when the Texans had the ball. It was 20-20 with like 40 seconds left.
Oh, right.
And Mills threw an interception in his own territory and the Bears won.
That's so stupid. Yeah, you're right.
Ended up getting the Texans the number one pick, probably.
So the Bears, who were a delight to watch, Justin Fields has 100 yards rushing like midway through the second quarter, most games. They have three wins. They could really get the first pick here.
And they traded multiple dudes during the mm-hmm. season.
Yep. 9 in a row they lost.
All right, 3 irrelevant games. Falcons, Bucks in Atlanta. I had the Falcons favored by 3.
I was way off on this. I said 3 also. It's 7.
They'll just assume. Dumb.
Yeah.
They'll assume the Bucks aren't playing anybody.
They assume Brady's playing. That's how bad it's gotten.
Panthers, Saints.
Who's their backup? Oh, it's Gabbert? Is that who Tampa Bay has? Yeah.
Well, they drafted somebody too. I think that they like. We might see that guy. Remember? Yeah. They had, it's like a second or third round pick. Panthers, Saints in Carolina. Saints are playing pretty well.
Yeah.
I got Panthers by 1.5.
The Saints are favored by 4.5. I said 3. Oh, you had
Wait, this is in Carolina?
It's in New Orleans.
Oh, I screwed up. There we go. I did it again.
Yeah. That's when I clinch it.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
Just laziness on my part.
There's a lot to remember, buddy. I don't blame you.
Oh, I like the Panthers now. Last one is Colts.
Please, come on. Stop with the Panthers. Stop it. You're going to lose a lot with them.
Well, now I need...
hasn't jumped in your account yet, has it?
No, I need
Oh, you have the win total thing.
I need the win total.
Right.
They're at 6. And now I can't hedge this.
Oh, what a dumb team. They should have 9 wins.
Bane of my existence. That's crazy. The fucking Panthers. Unbelievable.
What a stupid year. All those South teams.
Colts Texans is our last game. Really, really awful. They should not show this on the red zone. Give me one reason this should show on the red zone. Fantasy's done. Nobody cares about this game. They should
first
ban
pick.
It. The ban first it from pick. The red zone. Fine. I got Colts by 2.5.
All right, you're going to get this. I said 4. It's 3. If Houston wins this game against Ellinger, I can't believe the Bears are really likely to get this last pick the way it might work out.
You know, I just thought of something.
What happened?
The Colts should throw the game.
What is that?
Why do you want Texans? Why do you want Houston to get the first pick?
Yeah.
The Colts
interesting.
They could make their pick even better. Where are they in the standings right now? They are, they're 4-11-1. So they're locked into the 5th pick unless Denver or Arizona moves past them. Mm-hmm. But then you could sabotage Houston, who's in their division. Although I guess there's no Trevor Lawrence this year, right? It's pretty polarized in the first pick.
It looks like Bryce Young is probably going to be the first pick, but they've lost 6 in a row. You're not asking a lot here. They'll probably lose anyway.
True. Colts are minus 137 for the season, which is actually the worst in the league.
Wow.
Houston's minus 132, and the Bears are minus 121. Those are only triple-digit minus teams.
And then the Vikings, right?
Cards at minus 84 is pretty fun. All right, that's it.
Oh, was that Week it? 18. All right, so I win. So, all right, we're closing the gap again. Here, Simmons.
Good job.
Week for me, 864.
Let's take a break and we'll do Parent Corner. All right, we'll do Parent Corner in a second. College football, who do you like? You're all in on Georgia, throwing them in a parlay with a couple NFL teams.
Yeah, just put them in everything. They're destined. I mean, they played the worst game they played probably in 5 years, and they still came out on top over Ohio State. It's part of my parent corner, the way that went down. But I don't know. Did you watch? Do you like the high-scoring
games? I did. I watched both games, and I thought the TCU quarterback was good.
Duggan's good, yeah.
But doesn't he have... third, fourth rounder, and then all of a sudden 2 years from now he'll be starting for somebody to be like, oh, I like that guy in college. Kind of has that feel to him, right?
And it's funny because I think he probably had 9 completions like halfway through the fourth quarter, but he does seem like he has more control of the game and does. He takes off, which yeah, didn't like seem him. Like Michigan knew that he did that. But it is weird with just in football in general. Like, we loved that Ravens-Steelers game. It was hard-hitting. But we knew, like we said, the score was only going to be 16-13 or nothing. And then you can watch a game like that where the live over-under in the beginning of the fourth quarter was like 99.5. And like, oh, that seems too low. that assumes that somebody's going to get a stop. But yeah, I enjoyed both games. That was a good one.
And, that was a really rough Jim Harbaugh game.
Yeah.
Really rough. All kinds of weird shit going on. The Michigan fans could not have been happy.
Yeah. That ruined any dream because you were getting an ideal matchup no matter what. If they won, they played Georgia. So that'd be one or two and one versus two. And if Ohio State had won, you get the rematch of the best rivalry in college right now.
Yeah. TCU is a tough one for the ratings, I would guess. Georgia, TCU. Sure. What's Georgia? What's the line in that game now?
It's 13.5.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's like all these NFL lines. It's like Philly Giants and San Francisco, Arizona. They're all the same.
So I texted you in house a couple of days ago about the Nuggets. Oh, beat the Celtics tonight. They're still on FanDuel. They're still 13-1. And
what were they when you sent? Like 15?
I think they were, they were right around there. I don't think it's moved.
Okay.
I think they are by far the best bet right now for a championship bet, for value and the whole thing, because I think they're going to get the one seed. And I think they have a couple trades to make. I talked about it on the podcast the other day with Waz. They have a $9.7 million trade exception, and then they'll get a buyout guy, but they're going to be able to get a backup center and one more shooter. And I just think they're the safest bet of anybody to make it. Like, Milwaukee's a mess. There's rumors about chemistry going on and weird stories floating around about them now. The Celts feel like they're a guy short still, and I'm not sure how they're going to fix it. But they, now that Sam Hauser crashed back to earth, who knows? Brooklyn's coming on. But just in general, the West is such a mess. Denver seems by far the safest bet.
Well, why don't we do this?
Why their odds aren't better.
Because you said this, and then you talked about getting the center and everything. But I was looking at Nuggets Celtics is almost 17-1. You don't like that?
I don't know if I trust my team.
All right. Nuggets Bucks. 20.
I don't know if I trust. I don't know. I think it's too early to jump on an East team.
All right. So 5-1 for the West. That's what you said?
Yeah, I think.
Or you like them for the whole thing?
I just think the 13-1 is better because then you can go against it in the finals, even though you never would.
Right,
but.
Right.
They pass a lot of, they have a lot of check marks. If you're just looking at like this time of year, like where they are, like I think getting the one seed, just the road having to go through them, the fact that they definitely have one of the best players in the league. I think he's the best player in the league, but you know, he's in that short list of guys that usually win titles. And the competition, like I watched the Clippers lose to the Celtics and I watched the fourth quarter when they lost the other night. And I don't know. It feels like they're missing something too, even though they're completely healthy now. Mm-hmm. But it's like they don't know who their five is, even though they know they have the Kawhi George part, but they don't know about the guards. The one that's the wild card team is Brooklyn because of the way Durant's playing and the fact that Kyrie, for whatever reason, has been normal for a month. But I don't know. That team, the East is just in flux to me.
So don't you think you can get 30-1 for Brooklyn Denver? I'm just reading numbers.
That would mean you'd need
five more. They could hedge against it.
Yeah. But you need five more normal months of Kyrie.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not getting that.
That's why you don't do that.
Right.
You could actually say the Bucks are the best value because, you know, in March, all of a sudden they've won 10 straight. And like, oh, why did we ever think the Bucks weren't the best team in the East? The Celtics just aren't good enough.
Is this a stretch? I was talking to our buddy Alec about this. This is a stretch of great player performances that's going under acknowledged, I think. Like we haven't seen, look at the MVP awards every day and it's like, all right, Luka's just on ridiculous run and Jokic had a crazy stretch and Tatum was dynamite for three straight weeks, you know, like he couldn't touch his numbers. And then Embiid, like, and Curry, what's he shooting? Like, how old is he? And he's having his best shooting year ever. I don't know. I mean, you got to do more to publicize basketball.
I like for value. I vote on it, so I'm not allowed to bet on it.
Oh,
but
right. That's right.
Well, you know I don't bet on it.
No, I
don't. But for value, I think KD at plus 850 is probably the best value. Because he's, I think him and Jokic and Luka have been the three best individual players this year. But Brooklyn has a chance to be like one of the top five teams. Dallas has basically been a 500 team all year. That's why I think the Luka case, I don't know why he's the favorite. Because,
you know, they have these number. I was surprised to see that you didn't like that they named it. It seemed right up your alley that they gave player names. They assigned former player names to all
like
these
it.
Awards. That's right stupid. Up here. That's something you would have done in a heartbeat.
That was,
no?
I didn't
all right,
like
but what
all.
About this? Like, because I feel like every other day someone's name is put up against Wilt Chamberlain. I think you even tweeted, like, Wilt hasn't even done this. Like, should there be a compared to Wilt award? Like, how many times Jason Tatum's numbers were compared to Wilt or Jokic or something
or
like
even
that?
Wilt would be impressed? Yeah, there's there should be like a best individual player award, which I think, did they do that
different
one
from
or
MVP?
No? But then that complicates
they
MVP.
They had clutch award. You're saying the clutch award?
No, I'm not. Which like I don't the even best know what individual that is. Season. That's what baseball should have.
Right,
but,
right.
But Jokic is the best player in the league.
Right.
And people are like, no, here, Luka, 50, whatever. It's like Jokic, the way he affects the other dudes, there's nobody like him in the league right now. And the only other one who really does it like that is Curry, but Curry's hurt. But Curry, same thing, where just he can just lift an entire group of players just by being on the court and all the things he does. That Jokic,
absurd.
Like, Jokic fucking killed the Celtics tonight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Denver shot 60% and anyone's going to win when they're shooting like that. But he was the best player on the floor and he was going against Tatum, who's the, you know, was the MVP favorite for a month. If you watch the game, you're like, how would anybody not think Jokic is the MVP again?
I want to, FanDuel, somebody's got to put up the clutch award. No one's putting up odds for the clutch award.
Because no one knows what it is. They don't even want to put them up there.
But what is it as you understand it? Do you have a vote for the clutch award?
I think I have to vote on all this stuff, but I think clutch is just like who kind of came through in clutch moments the most.
So the last few minutes or?
Yeah. So I guess it would be.
And it's a regular season award, right?
It's like when Dame Lillard has those stretches when he hits a bunch of like game winning threes. I'm like, oh.
Right.
So we have a new favorite for the Jerry West Award. But yeah. I'm
excited to see odds
it.
For this. I haven't seen them anywhere.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be so down on it because it's more stuff to bet on.
Yeah. By the way, the fact that Jerry West got a trophy name, like, was that really just like playing nice with him? Like, all right, they made a whole documentary about you destroying trophies in your office. So here's an actual trophy they're going to name after you, which you would probably break if you won.
We have a sponsor for the for Parent Corner.
Oh.
It's the cooldown.com. You can sign up for newsletters there. They're making climate topics actually interesting to learn about. They give you easy tips on hacks to waste less and save money. Awesome product recommendations and also show you the coolest tech that's going to make our lives better in the future. Go to thecooldown.com. Sign up for their newsletter.
All right.
This is a topic that's going to dominate the next decade. Plus, when we're getting old, we're going to have to care about the climate, so. All right, what do you got?
Right.
Parent Corner.
Well, so I got a couple real quick thing. You know, like my littlest one was like just kind of an a-hole the last week of the year.
Yeah.
Even with the elf and everyone watching, it didn't matter. So I asked him today, I'm like, hey, are you going to behave yourself in 2023? And he said to me, I don't know. I can't tell the future. So that's good. I think I'm going to use that line for now on. When you ask me who's going to win, if the Cowboys are going to beat the Bucks in round one, I don't know. I can't tell the future, so he wouldn't even humor me and say, yeah, of course, I'm going to try. But I think my parent corner comes. We had a family over for New Year's Eve, and it's like my cousin Sally and Mickey, and everybody has kids, and they're running around, and they're doing what they want to do in the basement. They're playing tag. I don't even know what they're doing, but I'm watching Georgia, Ohio State, which it's coming down to the wire. It's coming down to midnight on the East Coast. And the only thing these kids care about is doing the countdown on the East Coast, you know, at 9 o'clock. And I don't know if you know how that timed out, but they're lining up for that game-winning field goal, Ohio State, right when it's like at 40 seconds. And like in my office, I have the TV that splits into four screens, but in the living room where everybody is, I have one TV. You know, I don't even have picture-in-picture. So I'm sympathizing with like these coaches that screw up the clock management. because I have to figure out how to go back and forth. I'm like, all right, we have to count down at least from 15, right? And everyone's like, no, we got to do it at 8:57. I'm like, no, we don't need to count down from 3 minutes. Like,
so you were like Dan Campbell. You were just like doing the headlights.
I really like freaked out. I was like in a sweat for a second. Like a lot of people are going to be mad at me one way or another. And, you know, when you're on the West Coast, you're watching the East Coast feed. You're watching people freeze in Times Square. It's a waste to put on. I've watched for 40 years and you don't see one pickpocket, which would be the fun part. But they don't show that. So I got it. And the kick lined up exactly. Now, I know there's delays and everything, but this guy missed the field goal, this Noah Ruggles, exactly when it struck midnight. And I had to like put it on my phone and have the kids count down from 4. And so everyone got mad at me and I didn't see the field goal. And I had kids like screaming at me and then they went back to what they were doing. I was like, let's stay up for the midnight. That's what we live on the West Coast. We got to celebrate the West Coast New Year's, not the 9 p.m. Eastern. A lot of you haven't even been to New York. Why are we doing this? So I was the bad guy with all my kids because I only caught the countdown at 5 or 6.
They should have figured out a better way to do that.
Yeah.
The game should really have to end before New Year's. People like you shouldn't have been put in a position like that.
Thank you. Thank you,
bro. I was overserved last night, but at one point I remember looking in the TV and Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper were interviewing the dad from Succession. And I was like, what's going on?
A lot of
jokes.
Did
somebody slip me a gummy? What is happening? I have no idea why he was there or why that was the big interview for them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's weird. I don't know how it would be better, but it does seem that it's not good on the West Coast. We don't have a countdown out here. We don't have like
now. There's so many good reasons to live on the West Coast, and one of the worst ones is the New Year's thing, where it's 9 o'clock, but we're living vicariously through the East Coast New Year's, and even though it's not our New Year's, it makes no sense.
And then when it's our New Year's, we have to watch the same feed as we watched at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, like when. Like Harrison's birthday, it's like, it's 9 o'clock. It's your birthday on the East Coast, Harrison.
Right.
Like you wait till it's the day of the birthday.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I really want to do Parent Corner about my daughter, but I'm not going to because we're feuding right now.
Oh, no.
You never had girls.
No.
Somebody told me senior and high school girls, it's a way more annoying experience than you're prepared for. And let's just say that person was right. My son goes out, so I'll do my son just because I don't want to
not feuding with him yet.
I'm not. He somehow he's winning the sweep. He's winning the contest now, the weekly contest with my daughter, just in general in my life. Goes to the Palisades for New Year's with a friend of his. We come home. It's like, I don't know, 10:30. We come home because he's home, which we find suspicious. Go in the back house where I'm doing the podcast right now. And he's back here with two friends and two girls that they just met at the party. And the party, I guess, the party got blown up because somebody called the police. And they just all decided to come back here. And they were all in the back house. And I pulled them out. I'm like, who are those girls? And he's like, I don't know. We met them tonight. My son is 15. And he's bringing girls back to our house on New Year's Eve. And we just kind of left them alone. And they left a couple hours later. And I just got a glimpse into my future of what my next couple of years are going to be like with my son.
Were they also 15?
Yeah, they were ninth graders. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's been pushing me to go to parties with like the football team. The older kids wanted to go to these parties. And I'm like, you can't. I'm not allowing you to do that. But now...
It's tough.
I just feel like I'm starting to feel like Dan Campbell with my kids. I just can't manage the clock. I'm not calling the right plays anymore. Yeah. They don't listen. They're not really afraid. The threats don't work anymore.
Right.
Like, really, my only threat left is you ground them. But then if you ground them, which, by the way, it might be happening with my daughter this week. But then we have to drive them around. So it's like, you're putting rules against them, but now you're the one that suffers. Cause now it's like, instead of her driving, I take away her car, but now we're having to drive her around.
Yeah.
And I think they hit some point where they just figure out like, you know, it's like you can only call the Wink Martindale blitz so many times where they're like, yeah, I'll just have somebody pick that up and I'll throw the flat.
Right.
And I'm out of moves.
I'm with you. I mean, my kid told me he can't tell the future. What the hell am I supposed to do with that? we're screwed. Once the elf on the shelf is gone, there's no, you know, fear is a mother effer. And when that's gone, you know, there's really no way to zigzag.
You know, when Kyle was young, he was like 9 or 10, and we were visiting his family. We were at Kyle's dad's house, and Kyle did something where he got in trouble, and big surprise. Kyle's like 10 and they're on the stairs, and Kyle's dad is talking to him. And I just happen to overhear it. And Kyle's dad says, "You're going to sit here and you're going to sit here until you come up with an answer for why you did what you did." I don't remember what he did. And Kyle's like, "But dad, I don't have an answer. I'm going to just be here 10 minutes from now and I'm not going to have an answer." And Carrie's brother's like, "I don't care. You're going to sit here until you have an answer. You're going to come up with an answer." And he walked away and Kyle was going, "But I don't have an answer." And my wife and I thought this was the funniest thing. And we joked about it. I don't have an answer. Anytime it became a running joke for like 5 years.
Kyle, did you eventually have an answer?
Kyle, did you come up with an answer? What happened?
No, guys, I was the king of the stairs. That was the joke in my house, that I was the king of the stairs. There was four stairs. Of us. And I was the king of the stairs.
Yeah, so, but my point is, like, that was some sort of discipline where at least Kyle, his dad instilled some sort of fear in Kyle of, oh, I hope he doesn't send me to the stairs where I just have to sit there and think. And
yeah,
I don't have my version of that. Maybe that's what we need, Sal.
You don't have stairs? You have like 14 houses. You must have stairs somewhere. We got to get you stairs.
I'm saying my kids aren't afraid of like, oh, dad's going to send me to the stairs.
I know, you're right.
Okay. Dad's going to send me to the basement. Maybe we need like more threatening things. Maybe Harrison should be afraid that you're going to send him to the stairs.
I'm with you. I think me, you, and House, and if Kyle wants to join us, we have to figure this out this week while we're stuffing our faces. You're right. You're right. We need something threatening.
Kyle didn't have an answer.
Kyle, you better find an answer.
But I'm going to be here 10 minutes from now and I'm still not going to have an answer.
I'm the king of the stairs.
Kyle, did the stairs work out for you ultimately?
No, I would start to make noise. And I think they were like, "We can't do this," because I would just start, you know, banging my feet. And they're like, "Oh, now we got this kid on the stairs making noise." So I think it was eventually I had to go to a room somewhere.
He's going
to
hurt himself. Yeah, he's going to hurt himself in the stairs. Wow. All right. That was Parent Corner, presented by thecooldown.com. Sal, what do you have to plug?
Well, this weekend, Simmons, and I'm going to kidnap you in House, and I'm just going to take you there because it's Extra Points Live, Propapalooza with the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, Monday, January 9th. We're there for the pregame and the game right there, Georgia, TCU, Extra Points Live, Propapaloozavegas.com or Ticketmaster. Get it there. We're there the day before, also Sunday, all day for the watch party, 10 to 4:30. Kimmel Comedy Club, brought to you by Crown Royal. Just come. You could come out. We're going to have giveaway betting slips, parlay.
Something like Collinsworth. You could come. Yeah, come on.
Isaiah Harris.
Did Najee Harris need an exorcism? Did you hear that one today with Collinsworth?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
He's possessed.
Oh, he put a humdinger on that throw. He said humdinger today.
You know, we talked to them about Kenny Pickett, and God, Mike Tomlin just loves this guy. Does he love this guy or what? Oh.
He had another
on Monday.
One.
Don't rule it out.
Really? Okay, good. Well, one more. He had one more with Mike, you and I were watching Isaiah Likely in practice, and this guy is uncoverable. I don't care what the pass rush looks like. He is unguardable. Forget that he only has 2 touchdowns on the year. You just can't cover him.
Right, he's got like 20 fantasy points for the season. That, by the way, that game, was that the first game in like 10 years where somebody doinked a field goal, but then they still won the game? Because usually when somebody hits the upright on a field goal, I just assume they're going to lose from that point.
Oh, you're right.
It's like the worst omen possible.
Yeah, like a punt return for a touchdown or something stupid like that. Yeah. You're right. Could have been.
All right, Sal. Good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing. As always, don't forget, new rewatchables going up Monday night. Sly Stallone. One Word Movie Month. Great stuff. I will see you in this feed on Tuesday.
so